I'm always afraid you won't sit down and then I can't preach. But in many ways, welcome. It's nice to see everybody. Thank you for reading. We have a piper with us today, Chris, which was quite beautiful, right? So we'll hear more from him as Mass goes on. In many ways, welcome. Welcome. It's Halloween, All Hallows Eve, right? All Hallows Eve. I stopped this morning. I dressed a little fancier than I usually do, but I wore my what we call our house cassock, which is trimmed in red, and I have my little zucchetta, and I have my pectoral cross, and I went into Dunkin' Donuts, and people wouldn't look at me at first because they thought I was dressed for Halloween. And then somebody said, "That's a pretty authentic costume," and I said, "Well, it really is, right?" in many ways, it is, right? And so welcome to all of you. Welcome to all of you. What we celebrate in the beginning of November is the Feast of All Saints. And the readings that we hear today remind us in many, many ways, and beautifully read by Stephen and Caitlin. Thank you so much, right? So what we hear today in the readings is really this reminder of our call to holiness. Revelations, from the reading that we had in Revelations today, it really does speak about an end time, right? It's a difficult book of the scriptures. It is Revelation. It is how God continues to reveal God's self to us in our place and time. And so we hear John, the author of Revelation, talking about, and next week we're going to have a catechetical Mass, so I'm going to explain why we wear all these vestments, what we do at Mass, all of those things. But in many ways, this garment is the alb, and it's appropriate to all baptized Christians, right? And so our robes are made white in the blood of the Lamb. And so each and every one of us, that 144,000, represents all of us who are called by the invitation of God's love into the experience of holiness in our world. What a tremendous invitation that is. The other readings then speak about what it might mean to be holy, right? And so then we have that beautiful reading from John's letter. John wrote two letters and the gospel and we think Revelation. He was quite busy writing, I guess, right, in many ways. But John was writing to what we call the Johannine community. It was the community of faith that was founded by the Apostle John, and what was in essence really kind of trying to understand and organize its belief around who this person of Jesus Christ is. Not unlike what we do today. Not unlike you and I who come here and become part of the parish church of St. Francis of Assisi. When we come here and we are together and we hear the word of God, we attempt too to begin to see who Jesus is in our world, who Jesus is to us. How is it that we move and walk with him and he with us? And so St. John's community was struggling a little bit, and so there were people who didn't believe the way that John believed, and they were leaving, and so John calls them the children of darkness, and we're the children of light. I tell you all the time when I say my night prayers, I pray for mercy for myself and justice for everybody else, right? So right, so often the way, so if you think that there weren't divisions in the early church, there were, right? But God, nonetheless, here we are 2,000 years later, and we're worshiping together in peace. And so John is writing to his community in many ways, to remind them to stay strong and to stay faithful to what it is that we know. And I think that really all in you and I know is the love of God. I mean, we have real tangible proof of the love of God. And sometimes when we doubt that, all we have to do is look across the room at the people that we love, right? And in many ways, St. John tells us that when we love, we see the face of God. And so we get this real tangible proof. And that's all we can know. How you and I begin to talk about that and live that takes on its own unique expression. And then we become part of God's plan of salvation, how we fill that in. And so today, in a very special way, we hear the reading from Matthew, which we know is the Sermon on the Mount. And we hear these Beatitudes, we hear these blessings. And I couldn't help but to think Brother Anthony put together this collage, which is some of the more iconic faces that we apply to victims of abuse and violence. And so we have these seven men here who were bullied into committing suicide. But each and every one of us have had other stories of bullying or oppression. Each and every one of us have had experiences, somehow how other people interacting us moves us towards destruction instead of life. And when we come here and we hear this scripture, or we come here and we pray together, what we're really being invited into is to figure out a different way to live. All of these Beatitudes that we hear today really run counter to our world. The Beatitudes in many, many ways that we hear today are our invitation into holiness. It's our invitation into being saints. It's God's invitation to you and I to love so deeply and so radically that we will be transformed by that love to give a different message in the world. When we hear, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who are merciful, mercy will be shown them. That's generally not the way our world lives, right? That's generally not the way the world lives. Look at the contentious battle that we have today in terms of the Republicans and the Democrats. I don't think I've ever seen anything this nasty in my entire life. I really don't, right? And that we are supposed to be persuaded by those arguments. That astounds me, right? That astounds me. But instead, maybe what it says is we should be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who maybe are show tolerance. Blessed are those who look for ways to compromise rather than to have these extreme dichotomies. Look at our world today. Look at these seven people up here who because of their differences, whether expressed or not, were the victims of being bullied. One hung himself 13 years old. Another jumped off a bridge. Think of the degree of violence that our society can generate. Think about the fear, all of us, right? I'm not sure how many of you would like to go back and visit high school. I'm not sure many of us would, right? In many ways, no. But in many ways, we know that one of the most important dimensions of our life at that period is to fit in, to feel somehow that we're a part of, and that everything that has the potential to make us feel that we don't fit in has the potential to threaten our existence in some ways. And so if we're already fragile about a society that doesn't value what we value, then it becomes easier to think that our life is not important enough to continue to live it. I think about what was taken from us in the gifts of these people who left us too early. I think about the wonderful talents that they'll never be able to fill in, right? But what I also think is because our faith and our deep and abiding belief in the eschatological virtue of love, these people become for us powerful intercessors at the throne of God, that they are in God's loving embrace and they intercede for us, right? And maybe they're asking us too to be peacemakers, to be merciful, to do all of those things that would invite you and I into the experience of moving in to be saints. The opening prayer that we heard today really asks God to give us the grace to live our vocations, whatever that is, the married life, the single life, whatever our vocation is, because it is in our vocation that we best do the will of God. And so if we exemplify the will of God in our very lives, then maybe this gospel message of love will take root in us and we will be transformed by it in the world. So that when somebody says something, we'll step up with the courage of the gospel, with the love of God, and say that isn't right. Or that we'll counter that somehow by an action that mitigates that, right? Courage from the Latin coragere means to move your heart. It's simple as that, right? It is as simple as moving our hearts. Coragere. And so how is it that this love of God, how is it that this time that we spend together, how is it when we come here and ask God to come into our lives, moves us towards the qualities of sainthood that the gospel illustrates for us today in the Sermon on the Mount? How is it that we pray to become we pray to become more tolerant, that maybe we pray to become more generous, that we pray to become more meek? It's not okay in our society to be meek. What happens to the meek in our society? They're kicked to the side. I like that, right? They're kicked to the curb, right? What else happens to the meek in our society, right? They get swallowed up, right? Right? Sometimes we even say what's wrong with them, right? I mean, we even begin to think that maybe there's something mentally unstable about somebody who's meek, right? But the reality is that if we are docile and then we are meek and mild of heart, then God's grace can come and God can use us as instruments, right? So this quality of meekness isn't valued today in our society. It isn't something that we value, and so we characterize it very, very differently, and it's experienced very differently. And God forbid that we ever appear weak in front of our friends, right? God forbid that we ever feel vulnerable. Yet in this scripture it says, blessed are the righteous. Who are the righteous? The righteous are those who care for the widow, the alien, and the orphan. The righteous person is that person who extends kindness and safety to the most vulnerable of society. I think these young men up here and all of the children in our congregation are sometimes our most vulnerable. What message is it that we're teaching them by our very lives, right? I love that bumper sticker that I saw. There's a couple bumper stickers that I saw that I really like. One is for the Women's Ordination Committee, and it says, either ordain us or stop wearing our clothes, which I kind of like. I like that very much. But the other one is hate is not a family value, right? Hate is not a family value. Our life as Christians are counter to that. It is really counter to that, right? And so we're called today to remember. We're called today to remember that those who gave us life in love call us to that same love, whether they're sitting right next to us or whether they're enjoying the beatific vision with God in heaven. We are all called today to remember what love calls us to. It calls us to such a radical and profound transformation that we give a different message in the world, that we run counter to the values of this world. It isn't easy all the time, right? It is not easy. In many ways, it's easier to get on the bandwagon, right? It's much easier, and it's always easier to join in something. But when we have to have the courage to stand in the face of oppression or hatred or meaningless violence and say, no, this is not acceptable to us. This is not a way to live. This is not a way that we choose to live. Then God's word moves in our life in very, very real ways. Oftentimes, at memorials, there's a wonderful prayer that I use in my homily at funerals. It comes from Venerable Bede. But he says in this prayer, "Oh God, we give them back to you who first gave them to us. And as you did not lose them in the giving, so we do not lose them in the return." And so today, as we gather and we remember all of these and all of our loved ones, let's remember that as God did not lose them in the giving them to us, we do not lose them in the return to God. And so that we always move in the communion of the saints. We always move with those people who have loved us. Those who loved us always love us, and we always love them. And so that's how we'll recognize each other when we move from this realm to the next, right? It will be by love that we recognize each other. And so what I always think, that maybe we should get some practice here on earth, right? That we really should start loving each other here on earth in real and profound ways. So as we continue our celebration today, let's celebrate the lives of these men who maybe, as did the martyrs, right? Maybe they have a tremendous message to teach us. Let's pray that their lives and their deaths will not have been in vain. We celebrate this Feast of All Saints, All Hallows Eve, Halloween. It was in the early church in which adults dressed like the martyrs. They would take on the personas of the martyrs because martyrios in Greek means to witness. It means to give witness to something. And so the Christian community would dress like the people who had given witness to the love of God by their very lives. I often joke the suketa I wear as a bishop is, it used to cover a spot called a tonsure on our head, which was shaved in the middle of our head. But it's to remind us that there's something greater than our own mind, right, that we should pay attention to. But the color also represents that I would be willing to be a martyr for the faith. And when I was in Cameroon, 2 weeks before I had gotten there, two priests were shot. And so when I got there, I thought I was a bit of a moving target. I wasn't sure that I was ready to be a martyr for the faith. I was not really sure. And I thank God that God didn't ask me for my life then. But sometimes the harder thing is that God might ask different things from us, right? God might ask us real and painful change. God might ask us to love more deeply. God might ask us to be more peaceful. God might ask us to be more tolerant. Sometimes the thing that God's asked us in this life is a little harder than that. But as we celebrate this feast and as we celebrate the celebration, let's remember that what we do is we recognize and rejoice in our own sainthood and in the sainthood of all of those who have gone before us and all of those who will come after us. So let's continue in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.